Welcome to the Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums, Glenda, Kristen, and Nicole.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into the Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
Woo-hoo, welcome! Welcome, spiritual peeps. Today's episode is the second of our third episode series about psychic kids.
Yep. And today we're going to discuss intuitive exercises that you can practice with your intuitive child.
We will also share games, activities, and valuable resources to help you nurture your child's spiritual growth and strengthen your bond.
Yeah. But first, let's recap. Your child may have psychic abilities if their mood changes depending on the environment they are in. This can be due to picking up on energies of the locations.
Yep. If your child is strongly empathetic, they are probably sensitive to the emotions of others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if they dream of flying or visiting places they have never been.
Yeah. When a child has an imaginary friend, this can suggest that they may actually be communicating with the spirit.
Right. So have you ever had your child describe a departed loved one that they've never met or they recognize them in a photo? This could totally be a sign that your child may have seen them in spirit.
Yeah. I wanted to add one more little thing. And I don't know if this is just all kids, but kids that particularly are scared of the dark. I don't know if that was something you guys experienced really heavily, but me, I could not handle the dark at all. It felt like all my senses were going crazy.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to stare back because I was like, what is that? Like, what is that in my head?
Mm-hmm.
Stare back. And then I'm like, if this is not going, I'm just going to go back to sleep because maybe I don't want to know.
Oh, no. I don't know about kids, but I'm still afraid of the dark.
I was going to say, I still am. Oh, we have four or five nightlights in my bedroom.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's specific to like kids with spiritual abilities, but yeah, definitely those who do. Because I'll tell you what, seeing is also scary.
Yeah.
So like the lighting has to be all the way bright or all the way dark. I don't like just enough light where I can see shadow.
Mm-hmm. Right, or it has to be evenly distributed light. And like there, like you said, like one corner can't be dark. It has to be even. That's for me.
Yeah. For me, really, the best way I can sleep is my eyes covered, either with a mask or with a pillow or something where I cannot even. But even when I close my eyes, I see stuff. So I don't know.
That is true, too.
I like sleeping in the dark. I like turning off everything.
Yeah. I like it real dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't done that in years. Yeah. I haven't. So maybe I should try it now that I have my abilities under control. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's got to be like,
I don't know. I feel
black.
Like I'm suffocating.
There can't be any.
Like when it's pitch dark.
That might be another issue. I feel like. That might be something you might need to seek professionals. I don't know. Like for me, I cannot. I like to have a light on in the hallway. So as soon as I open the door, there's light. I don't like opening my bedroom door to darkness. Even the bathroom, I have a nightlight in it.
So you guys don't turn off the whole house? Like. You just
one light I keep in my stairwell. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like if my kids come out of their bedroom, there's light in the hall. If I come out of the bedroom, light in my hall, I have a nightlight in my bathroom, but the bathroom door stays closed. Mm-hmm. The bedroom door stays closed. Because if there's just enough light where I can see shadow, fuck it. Mm-mm. No, because then I'm seeing stuff move. Yeah. I'm seeing stuff standing. You know, like it's just no. I need it to be completely dark or enough light that I can see everything. Mm. But no, yeah. So I don't know if that's. That can definitely be something that is considered that, but I don't know if being afraid of the dark is specific to that. Because, you know, kids in general like have dark, such an amazing imagination.
Have you guys experienced like a blackout?
Oh, I hate it.
Before?
If I do.
Oh, you mean like when there's no power? Yeah.
Yeah, when you shut everything off? No.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
So we recently had one. It was these rolling blackouts. They had to do one because some kind of generator. Me and my mom was in the couch, so for like a second. So anyways, we were sitting down and then it went black, and then like for 5 seconds I couldn't see anything, and I'm like, okay, now what I'm gonna do? Oh, I have my phone, but it was charging somewhere else. So I'm like, oh, okay,
So you have to crawl?
What light? No, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, okay, where is everything? So I, because I usually can picture everything where I'm at and I can maneuver. Because, you know, when you get up in the early in the morning, you get up and you find yourself, so you know the pattern of your house, right? My mom started walking and I hit her and I was like, why? Why are you walking? And she's like, I'm going to get a flashlight. I go, do you know where the flashlight is? Oh, my God. I was just like, now there's flashlight all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I was like, what?
It's so funny because I just bought – so I know that we're going down a rabbit hole, but you said flashlight. I just ordered a couple flashlights because here in Michigan, it's coyote mating season.
Oh.
And, yeah, well, there's a lot of coyote and coy wolf up here, and they're in our neighborhood, and they're, like, sent out a notice in our email, hey, it's coyote mating season. Don't let your dogs out of your sight when you take them out. Make sure they don't go near bushes or dark, you know, because they'll take – small dogs, right?
And what makes
so them? I just ordered flashlights and got them in yesterday. They're like tactical flashlights so that if the coyote come close, I'm gonna be like boom 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 boom.
Oh, so you can attack them with it. Dog. Yeah.
Not that I would. I'd probably turn around, run, scream. But you know, I feel like
you got some,
you know,
right.
I feel good. Yeah, flashlight. I got light. I got weapon. Yeah, I'm good. If that coyote tried to come after me, I mean, I'm no spring chicken or nothing, but hey.
You got your flashlight.
I'm a tasty meal. Okay, back on track. I started talking about coyote mating season, and this is episode has nothing to do with
that. That's why we're awesome, because you just never know what you're going to learn on here.
Yeah.
It's the glory of the spiritual rabbit hole, man. Yeah. Oh, that sounds weird. Okay, let's get back on track. So we're talking about reviewing signs of psychic abilities in children.
So we talk about so much more in episode 2 of this season. So if you have not listened yet, it's an excellent place to start. Be sure to come back to listen to our entire 3-part episode series on psychic kids.
Here are some ways to nurture your kids as they grow spiritually. So the first one is create your mindful corner. Dedicate a space in your home for mindful activities and reflection.
Yes. And family rituals are really great with helping your kids. So establishing regular family traditions that align with your spiritual values are really helpful. Prayers before dinner or at bedtime or simply just a bedtime routine can be very helpful for your kids.
Yes. And also incorporating storytelling. Share stories or fables with moral lessons, encouraging discussions afterwards.
And another one is nature connection. Spend time outdoors and use nature to teach about interconnectedness and gratitude.
Yeah. Like, I think that's one of my favorite ones is that.
The nature one?
Connecting with nature and recognizing the lessons that we can get. I mean, I think sometimes I remember a lot of the times my kids would point out stuff in nature. You know, what was happening with nature, the relationships between living beings and plants and all the kind of – just it's really fascinating. It can really – it really ties into, like, universal laws, honestly.
Yeah. And then you get to be grounded in nature also. So
yeah.
Yes.
Two for
so,
one.
So, yes, exactly. Now, there's also benefits for play. So one effective way to nurture your spiritual growth is through play. And games and activities can be powerful tools for teaching important values and fostering a sense of connection.
Yes. From simple games to more elaborate activities – play can open avenues of meaningful conversations with your child, and it's a great way to enhance their imagination, which can help their clairvoyance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, helping them recognize their imagination, not to hinder their imagination, allowing them to do what comes naturally to them, I think, is important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have all these games. So one of them would be mindful coloring. Engage your child in mindful coloring activities. Provide mandala designs or nature-inspired coloring sheets to encourage focus and creativity.
Yeah, it's an excellent way for kids to express themselves and to tap into meditative state. Now, I have to share with you, G opened my eyes or introduced me to reverse coloring books.
Oh, yeah.
And she even got me one not too long ago. Yeah. And sometimes when I'm feeling like all kinds of scatterbrain, I will sit and I will work on that. What is it called? Yeah, reverse coloring books.
Reverse coloring. So explain what that is. Yeah.
So it's like there's just colors on a sheet and you can find shapes within the colors. Because that, from the for as long as I can remember, like when I see raindrops on a window or if I'm in the shower and there's water on the wall or patterns within my tile, the color in my tile, all that kind of stuff, I can always see like creatures or faces or shapes of things in those. And I think it's a great way to really nurture my imagination, kind of like what we're talking about. So, and then coloring and letting kids, like, what colors do they want to use? What colors do they want to apply to this part or another? What colors do they bring together? You know, that's a great way for them to get comfortable with expressing themselves in a natural way, in a unblocked way.
Yeah. You can even take that a step further. If you have them like draw their family members and you could ask them what color would represent this family member, what color would represent this family member? You know, maybe it could be like them starting to see auras or something, or just someone's energy.
Yeah. You know, you can do that with their emotions too.
That's cool.
Yep. That is true.
Like what color do you feel or see when you have this emotion? And it's a great way for them to recognize an emotion and express it in some form or fashion.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, so another game or activity that you could do is to make a gratitude jar. So you can create a gratitude jar as a family. Encourage your child to write down one thing they're grateful for daily and place it in a jar. And it's good to make sure that it's something different every day.
Yes. And this will bring a positive mindset to help children appreciate the small joys in life.
Yeah. Then just a cool thing about gratitude jars is if they're having a hard day, because I actually suggested this to my daughter, but making a gratitude, she has yet to do it because, you know, she's 14 and wants to resist everything I say. But creating a gratitude jar when you're in this good space is helpful for when you're having a rough day. And you can grab something from that jar to remind you of the things that bring you joy and that you're grateful for.
Oh, that's a good idea. Use it for reflection. And then maybe it can help you really, really find one thing to be grateful for on that terrible day you're having. You know, there's always something.
Right.
And just that little shift in mindset is just enough sometimes to pull you out.
Yeah. And I think that's it's a great lesson in recognizing that you have control over where your mind is, where your head is, what what energy you're deciding to focus on. So if you take a minute to shift from a negative mindset to a more positive mindset, totally will change the whole rest of the day. So yeah. So another great activity is storytelling. So incorporate storytelling, but add a little twist. Ask your child to create a story where the characters learn important spiritual values or life lessons.
Yeah, and it's a good creative way to install moral and ethical teachings.
Another one will be nature scavenger hunt. Take the spirituality outdoors with a nature scavenger hunt. Inspire your child to find items that resonate with them spiritually, like a unique rock or a particular leaf.
Yeah, absolutely. Because connecting with nature is such a powerful way to instill a sense of wonder and reverence. That's it's kind of like we're going to talk a lot about nature. Everybody, I feel like spiritual journey, connecting with nature in some form or fashion is always a good idea. Yeah. And it's like multitasking because there's so many benefits to doing it.
And mind you, if you want to take these home, ask first.
Oh, rock, you mean like in Hawaii?
Anywhere, actually. Where you go anywhere.
You want to ask permission from nature?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't just take.
That makes sense. I was going to add, too, that so a lot of spiritually gifted children may already be very drawn to nature, just in general. Like that kid that loves to just roll in the grass and get dirty. That was me. I would always just dig in the dirt and my mom was like, I can't take you anywhere. You'd be covered in dirt. But I think it would just, you know, it's intuitive to them. I would just dig any dirt, any rocks. And I loved it. And it made me feel so good. Yeah. You know, now I understand that. But back then I didn't. So if you have a kid that is just always coming in dirty because they just love to play in the dirt, just let them. Yeah. You know?
And it's even true. Like nature also relates or is also animals, interactions with animals. And you'll see that there's some kids that just have this uncanny relationship with animals that make no sense. Like animals they never met before will listen and do whatever the kid says. I mean, I saw this with our daughter. Mm-hmm. My husband loves to tell the story where my sister-in-law had two very active, rambunctious young dogs. Mm-hmm. And whenever we would drive and pull into her driveway, they would run up to the car. My husband was always afraid because, you know, like he didn't want to hit them with the car. They would run right along next to the car. Mm-hmm. And all the kids, the boys were nervous. You know, my daughter's older brothers were all scared about getting out of the car and these dogs jumping on them because they were, you know, good sized dogs. My daughter was like 3 or 4, gets out of the car and goes, sit. And they both just sit. And my husband goes, what? No, how did you do? Because they wouldn't listen. The whole time my husband's going, stop it, stop it. Don't do that. Don't do it. And my daughter goes, sit. And they, and not even yelling, not angry. Mm-hmm. And then she'd go and love on them. And then they just followed her everywhere.
Nice. Oh.
And she's just like that with animals. She's just like anywhere we go and every animal will go straight up to her. So that's, you know, something that maybe a lot of people don't talk about. Like what Kristen was saying, like the kid that likes to get dirty, climb up in the trees, roll in the grass. And the kid who loves to be with animals and just has this weird connection with animals, even the ones they've never met.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. She's like the animal whisperer.
Yes.
Yeah. Whisperer.
So another activity that you can do is meditations with props. So you can introduce meditation using props by bringing in soft objects like feathers or crystals and guiding your child to focus on their breath while holding the prop.
Yeah, it combines mindfulness with a tangible element, making it more engaging for the children.
You know, and this isn't just for kids because...
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, I was like, we've had to tell Kristen, hey, why don't you grab a crystal?
That's because I'm fidgety and I can't sit still.
Right, and kids are like that too, right? Yeah. So like having that tangible thing. Mm-hmm. And I say this because you're not the only adult that's this way.
Oh yeah.
You know, I have plenty of clients where I'm like, they're my your spirit guides are going, you need to have something physical in your hand when you meditate.
Oh, okay. You know,
whether it be
fidget spinner
or like a rosary beads, mala beads, crystals.
And see, for meditation I'm okay. It's talking, I'm fidgeting, which is hard for this. But a lot of my clients when they have trouble meditating, I say pick an object to focus on. Usually I say a boring object, but I should have said like, go get a feather.
Something else. So when you say focus on, do you mean like for them to hold or for them to look at?
Well, you can look at it too if you don't want to hold it. But yeah, focusing, looking, but holding is another is a good thing you can do too. You can hold it and look at it. Do both.
You're so funny. I was just thinking because, you know, like when you go into labor and they tell you focus on a spot on the wall or a picture or something like that. So I didn't know if you had said focus on like an object across the room or if it was something that they were holding. So, yeah.
Oh, I was like, anything on your desk, focus on your pen, focus on, you know, pick something because
I can't do that. I can't do that. If I'm meditating and my eyes are open. I'm looking, I'll start with the one thing, whether it's in my hand or across the room, and then I'll start going, oh, my pink folder. I'm going to focus on my pink folder and my file folder organizer on the wall. And then I go, oh, shit, I forgot what's in that pink folder.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Did I forget to do something in the pink folder? Oh, wait a minute. There's a green folder. Oh, shit. There's like
six
folders.
That's why you have to find your
I have no idea what's in those folders.
What works for you? Yes. So if you're like Nicole, don't do that.
But what don't do that.
It's supposed to do when you have your eyes open is it's for people that just cannot sit and keep their eyes closed and do anything. Yeah. It's just to practice longer periods of time focusing on one thing. So like even if you can only do it for 5 seconds at first, right?
Yeah.
Then that builds that muscle so that when you are meditating and shutting your eyes, you can hold focus.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is a prime example of don't feel like you have to do everything exactly the way somebody else does it.
Yes.
You have to try stuff out. Yeah, do your own. Try stuff out and see what resonates for you. See what works best for you. And if you've tried something like 5, 6 times and it's just not working, try something else. Mm-hmm. Or make something of your own. Like create your own routine or ritual.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so some intuitive exercises we want to share with you are... mindful listening exercise. This is when you sit in a quiet space with your child and you close your eyes. Encourage them to focus on the sounds that are around them, from rustling in the leaves to distant sounds. Discuss afterward what they heard and how it made them feel. And this exercise can really enhance their ability to tune into subtle energies and fosters heightened awareness. This is actually a really good exercise for developing clairaudience as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one I did too. It's really good. So another intuitive exercise you can do is an imaginary journey meditation. So you can guide your child through a meditation where they close their eyes and imagine embarking on a magical journey. I like these too, by the way. They're fun. This is where you would guide your child through a meditation where they close their eyes and imagine embarking on a magical journey. Ask them to visualize places, people, or animals that they encounter. Afterwards, discuss their experiences and help them trust their imaginative and intuitive abilities.
So another activity would be emotion recognition game. Show your child pictures of people expressing various emotions without explaining the emotion. Ask them to tune in and intuitively identify the emotion portrayed. This exercise enhances empathic abilities and sensitivity to subtle energy shift.
Yep, that's a really good one. Because I think there's so many kids that aren't familiar with a lot of different emotions.
Emotions, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they don't know how to describe them or verbalize them or recognize them.
Please so do this.
This is good for all kids.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's not taught in schools.
Right.
So, y'all yeah, and people, your kids.
And I think, yeah, and I think a lot of parents are assuming a lot of stuff is taught at school.
Yeah.
And not recognizing where we have to supplement for our kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this is a good example of something that it's important to take the time for them to be able to recognize, acknowledge, and express their emotions. Mm-hmm. And then being able to recognize it in other people is very helpful if they can.
Mm-hmm.
But another intuitive exercise is the nature connection visualization. This is when you take your child outdoors, find a quiet spot in nature, close your eyes together, and imagine roots growing from your feet into the earth, grounding both of you. Advise your child to visualize energy from the earth flowing into them, bringing a sense of connection. This exercise helps them develop a deeper connection to nature and tap into the energies around them. This is actually a form of a grounding meditation or a grounding visualization.
So another intuitive exercise that you can do is a physical feelings journal. So this exercise is from the book Psychic Children by Joanne Brockes. And what you can do is have your child sit in a quiet room and write down how their body feels when they feel certain emotions. So you might want to start with having them imagine a happy memory and have them really dive into this memory and really pretend like they are in this memory and feeling what happiness feels like. So have them notice all the physical sensations that go along with happiness. Ask them to write down what they feel in their body. For an example, excited butterflies in the stomach, a warm feeling inside. So after they are done with a happy memory, then have them imagine something that would make them feel fearful. Feel how this emotion affects the body. Does the hair stand up on your neck? Do your palms clench? Do you want to run? Do you get the chills? This list of feelings and sensations is giving your child's intuition tools to use to give them subtle signs and clues when they are meeting someone new or they're in a new situation or making decisions.
Another exercise would be the card exercise. So take a deck of playing cards and sit with your child. Have them take a few deep breaths and use their intuition to tell you if a card is black or red before you draw it from the deck. Once they get confident and feeling if the card is red or black, you can try to advance of what suit the card will be.
Yeah, and that's a good practice for grown-ups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good one to practice what it, not just clairsentience, claircognizance, clairvoyance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good exercise all the way around for everybody. That's why these episodes are good, not just for people who have, you know, intuitive kids, mm-hmm. but everybody.
But even the feelings journal, like an adult could do that, because sometimes we get our signals mixed up because it's our body that's telling us that, you know, everything. Like your intuition uses your body, uses feelings. So the more you are in tune with your feelings, the more you can listen to your intuition.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people who are sensitive to spiritual energy have anxiety, because they confuse the physical sensation that comes through with spiritual energy for fear or something else, right?
Yep, I had that big time.
So another exercise is a telepathy exercise. So this is when you sit in a room with your child with no distractions around, okay? So phone away, TV off, door closed, no little ones running around. Have both of you take a few deep breaths and set the intention of connecting your energy with each other. You could even visualize like an energetic cord, depending on the age of your child, of course. You know, connecting you to your child and your child to you. Imagine a shape or a color in your mind, and then imagine sending that image to your child. You can visualize it through the energetic cord, or like even picture it floating from your third eye to their third eye. Have your child intend to see and receive this shape in their minds. It may help to do this exercise with your eyes closed at first, and then have them try to tell you the color or the shape, or both if they're able to. This is more of an advanced exercise, so it may be best to try all the other ones before you get to this one.
Yeah. So these exercises are designed to be an enjoyable experience for both you and your child. So it's, you know, there's no pressure. It's just about enjoying each other, trusting each other, and being open with each other.
So now that we've gone through all these different games, activities, and intuitive exercises for you to potentially try with your child or do yourself, we want to make sure we point out the key points from today's episode.
Yes. So we want to create a supportive and non-judgmental environment for your child to explore their intuitive and psychic potential. Actively participate in these activities with them to strengthen your bond and emphasize the importance of spiritual growth.
And remember, these activities are supposed to be enjoyable and not forced. Let your child take the lead and express themselves in their own unique way.
As you do these games and activities together, you're fostering spiritual development and creating beautiful memories with your child.
So if you try these with your children, please, we have an Soul in the Voyage Facebook group page. Come on, add yourself in. And we would love to hear anything about your, like, what's going on with your spiritual
journey. Experience. Yeah. And if you decide to do these for yourself, let us know that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd love to hear all of it.
So thanks so much for joining us for the second episode in our three-part series about psychic kids. If you missed the last episode, go listen because it's a great place to start.
And you are welcome to visit our website, soulonavoyage.com, for more resources to help you understand psychic abilities, from book recommendations to educational blog posts.
In our next episode, we are concluding our three-episode series from Psychic Kids. We will discuss indigo, crystal, and rainbow children and share ways to empower your child and yourself as you spiritually grow together.
Keep in mind that these episodes are helpful for anyone exploring their spiritual gifts, so be sure to tune in, even if you don't have kids.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's time for some boring legal stuff. We are not medical professionals. If you are concerned for your child's mental well-being or your own, please seek out professional help. And, you know, it's always good to do that, even if you could do both things, spiritual development, and you could seek out professional.
Yep.
There's not a one or the other. You can do them together.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us today at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. Remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Subscribe to our website, soulonavoyage.com, for more spiritual resources and services. And remember our Soul on a Voyage Facebook group.
Stay updated on all we have to offer by following us on Instagram at Soul on a Voyage. Thanks for being part of our spiritual community. Peace out.
Bye for now.
Love ya.